Iran's leader hails the role of Martyr Soleimani as vital in reviving the strength of the resistance front in the region. Day 86 of the U.S.-Israeli genocidal war against Palestinians. The death toll tops 21,800, mainly women and children. And Palestine's Islamic Jihad chief stresses there will be no prisoner swap with Tel Aviv before the end of the regime's aggression and full military withdrawal from Gaza. I'm Behrouz Najafi. Welcome. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says the main service rendered by Martyr Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani was to revive the resistance front in the region. Meeting with General Soleimani's family members, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei added that the late commander made the utmost effort to revitalize the resistance front and did so with sincerity and prudence. The leader said that the general's integrity is the reason why he is widely known. Ayatollah Khamenei added that Gaza has been able to withstand almost 3 months of the Israeli onslaught thanks to the presence of the resistance front. He also appreciated the efforts by the current commander of the Quds force of IRGC and General Soleimani's successor, Brigadier General Ismail Ghani. January 3rd marks the anniversary of General Soleimani's assassination in a U.S. drone strike in Iraq. Our correspondent in Damascus, Ibrahim Wati, has talked to Syrian people about Lieutenant General Soleimani on the anniversary of the U.S. assassination of the top Iranian commander. Let's take a listen.
We pay respect to our martyr, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Here we express our commitment to him, vowing to liberate Al-Aqsa and all of Palestine.
The martyred Iranian commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, taught us the true meaning of sacrifice. He was a real teacher of resistance against oppression. We are determined to continue the same path.
3 years ago, we mourned the martyrdom of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, who had a great impact on Palestinian resistance. Without his hard work and efforts, the resistance would have been unable to respond to the Zionist enemy and teach them painful lessons.
This year, we commemorate the martyrdom anniversary of General Soleimani amid the ongoing Israeli onslaught on Gaza. General Soleimani's support for the resistance front in the region was in line with the policy of the Islamic Republic, which attaches importance to the Palestinian cause.
In the fourth anniversary of martyrdom of Iranian commander Qasem Soleimani, we remember that he supported the resistance not only in Palestine but also in Syria, Iraq, and Yemen. He is a symbol of resistance against oppression.
May Allah have mercy on all our martyrs, including Iranian commander Qasem Soleimani, who was assassinated on January 3rd, 2020.
And meanwhile, Iraq has held a ceremony to commemorate the fourth martyrdom anniversary of Iranian military commander General Soleimani and his Iraqi companion Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis. The event highlighted the role that the two late commanders played in the fight against terrorism. Our Baghdad correspondent, Muslim Saleh, has more.
Iraq is marking the fourth anniversary of the assassination of General Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis. During an event attended by high-ranking Iraqi and Iranian officials, the two commanders were prized as a role model for all generations.
Today, we stand alongside our Iranian brothers to remember our leaders, General Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, whose memories are engraved in our minds. And although they are gone physically, their thoughts are still with us.
Former Iraqi Prime Minister Nour al-Maliki admired the two leaders and their role in the fight against terrorism in the region. The chief of Iraq Popular Mobilization Units, Faleh al-Fayyad, also addressed the ceremony. He said the role of General Qasem Soleimani and his companion was essential in standing against Daesh. Several Iraqi lawmakers were also present at the event. They said the two commanders' determination to fight against terrorists irritated their backers.
Today we remember the pure souls that fought against terror and defeated something that made terror supporters mad. That's why they committed such a cowardly act of killing our leaders in Iraq.
They expect that by assassinating our leaders, they will weaken our resistance, but they have failed to achieve their goals, and even after committing their cowardly act, it did nothing more than adding strength to us.
The attendees also condemned the latest attacks on anti-terror forests in Iraq and Syria, which led to the martyrdom of Sayyid Razi Mousawi. They demanded an immediate end to the U.S. military presence in Iraq, and they argued that this is the only solution to stop the continuous attacks on Iraqi forces and end violations against Iraq's sovereignty. They also expressed their solidarity with the Palestinians and condemned the Israeli war on Gaza. A huge crowd have gathered today to commemorate the fourth anniversary of the assassination of General Qasem Soleimani and Al-Hajj Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis. The legacy of the anti-terror icons continue to live on, inspiring people in the region to stand up for the oppressed. Muslim Salim, Baghdad.
The lawyer representing Iranian national Hamid Nouri at a Swedish court has criticized the trial process in the case against his client. Thomas Bodestrom contested the final verdict by the appeals court that upheld the life imprisonment sentence handed down to the defendant by the court of first instance. The Swedish defense attorney said that there were numerous irregularities in the case. Bodestrom added that Nouri had been denied access to documents crucial to his defense. Nouri was illegally arrested upon arrival in Stockholm in 2019. Swedish prosecutors accused him of involvement in the execution of members of the anti-Iran terrorist Mujahideen Khalq organization. The group is responsible for killing thousands of Iranians. Tehran has rejected the accusations against them as politically motivated. According to the Palestinian Health Ministry, 150 people have been killed in 24 hours of Israeli air raids on the Gaza Strip. More than a dozen fatalities are from the bombing of Al-Maghazi refugee camp in central Gaza, an airstrike on a southern neighborhood in Gaza City. Dozens are also under rubble of the buildings that were bombed in the neighborhood. The Palestinian Health Ministry says death toll from 86 days of Israeli onslaught on Gaza has topped 21,800. More than 56,000 others have been wounded. Health officials have warned that Gazans are facing dire humanitarian conditions.
The health ministry warns of a prospect of famine and dehydration of more than 1.9 million displaced people who lack proper accommodation, food, water, medicine, and safety.
The health ministry added that the regime has deliberately targeted tens of hospitals and ambulances. The World Food Program says that a complete collapse of the most basic services in Gaza is imminent. Also, the Palestinian Red Crescent has warned that the incoming humanitarian aid does not meet the needs of 90% of the Gaza population. Doctors at Nasser Hospital in the southern Gaza city of Khan Yunus say that the medical complex is stretched far beyond its capacity and can no longer accept new patients.
The hospital is receiving a lot more than its capacity. In fact, we are functioning at 300% of our 100% capacity. The beds are full. Most of the time, one bed is holding two patients at the same time, and we're basically short on all sorts of medicine supplies.
We're facing a big issue. That is, the cases coming in are more than the capacity we have. We're suffering from this issue. We're trying to handle it, but it's not the only issue. We're also short on a lot of things, medical supplies as well, and we try our best to find an alternative for them.
Now, Israel keeps committing serious violations of international humanitarian law, including war crimes, in the ongoing onslaught on Gaza. Three Palestinian brothers who were abducted by the regime's forces narrate the ordeal they went through.
They tortured us, poured water on us, and drowned us,
After 3 days, they put us in prisons and placed large iron cuffs on us. Then they took us for interrogation. Using water, salty water, torture, they used electricity on us, put out cigarettes on our bodies. He hit me in my ribs. I couldn't move anymore. My hand here is all burnt from the excessive binding. 7 ties, tightly on my hand for 3 days. As for sleeping, there was no time for sleep. Prayer was prohibited.
They placed us in an area like a camp, then brought a garbage truck full of metal and filth. They carried us inside the truck. They were beating us, and anyone who raised their voice after the beating was beaten again.
Because my leg was injured, they loaded me onto the truck using a ladder, and I told them I couldn't climb because of my legs. He hit me in the face here and pushed me until the cuffs broke and I fell. Then 4 people beat me. After that, they took us, threw us on the streets for 3 days, naked, smoking, and putting out cigarettes on our backs.
Welcome back. Israel's indiscriminate aerial bombardments and shelling have destroyed Gaza's critical infrastructure. Apart from residential buildings, the regime has targeted hospitals, schools, refugee camps, power plants, and communication systems, turning them into rubble. Many people in Gaza are now resorting to alternative power sources to keep their connection with the outside world.
We have been facing the problem of not being able to charge our mobile phones for over 72 days now due to power outage after the occupation. Israel cut off the electricity in the area and the whole strip. So we brought these solar panels to help people in the area. They're having issues when it comes to communicating with their loved ones as they can't charge their mobile phones. They can't also follow the news. So we had to get these panels to make things easier for people.
There is no electricity, so we had to buy these panels to provide power. May this war end soon. This situation is very difficult. The price to use these panels has doubled and even tripled. What used to cost 100 shekel now costs 200. We had to buy the panels so we can charge our mobile phones and charge a small battery to turn on at least a bulb at night. Children can't absorb why there is no electricity. I have no option. I need to stay in touch with my displaced family in the central region and relatives abroad. So we should have means of communication, whether through the phone or the internet. And I need to have electricity at night, too.
The leader of the Islamic Jihad movement in Palestine has ruled out any exchange of Israeli captives for Palestinian abductees before the regime stops the aggression on Gaza. Ziad al-Nakhala says that the Israeli regime must also first fully withdraw its forces. Resistance movements in Gaza say that Israel cannot release the captives held in the territory through military means. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has renewed his promise to eliminate Hamas' resistance movement and bring home all the Israeli captives. He said that the regime's deadly military campaign is at its height and will continue for many more months. Netanyahu also said that a border zone between the Gaza Strip and Egypt should be under the regime's control. Israeli forces have raided a Palestinian refugee camp in the town of Tul Kerem in the occupied West Bank as they are pressing ahead with incursions into the Palestinian territory. Troops also launched drone strikes and carried out several abductions amid fierce fighting inside the camp. Israeli troops were forced to leave the area after meeting stiff resistance by Palestinian fighters. The day before, Israeli forces raided another refugee camp in Ramallah. They stormed a house, terrorized the residents, and detained several people. They later abducted more than a dozen Palestinians. Israeli forces have intensified raids across the West Bank since October 7th, the day the regime launched its deadly onslaught on the besieged Gaza Strip. The troops and settlers have killed more than 300 people in the occupied territories ever since. Meanwhile, the situation remains volatile along the Lebanon's southern border. Resistance movement Hezbollah and Israel continuing to exchange fire, as well as attacks on retaliation for the genocide in Gaza. A correspondent had an update from southern Lebanon.
Well, today in the early hours of the morning, we woke up to the Israeli shelling in the towns of Kfar Kila and also in the area of Mohammed. Of course, the shelling did not stop. There were also a lot of airstrikes. And the village of Ramya, in addition to the drone attacks against the town of Labuni, which is near the Nakura area on the western side of the coast. Of course, the Israelis continued their attacks in addition to the fact that you have drones and surveillance and reconnaissance planes hovering over our heads on an hourly basis. In addition to the fact that we always see the fighter jets also in Lebanese airspace. Now, of course, Hezbollah did also launch several operations yesterday, the most significant of which was a drone attack against the barracks of Ramta. Now, today, their operation was conducted in the area of Hanita, and that was right after we heard from Israeli media reports that the sirens sounded in the western side of the Galilee. Usually we get an insight basically on whether there were Israeli resistance operations. After we know that there are sirens that sounded, the sirens usually go off whenever there are any missiles that are launched from the Lebanese side. And this is one of the issues that we have seen in Israeli media continuously. It seems that they are always in a tense situation. There are sirens are always sounding sometimes. Even small issues, sometimes there's no missiles, but they still do hear those sirens. But today we know that those sirens meant that there was a Hezbollah operation. It was in the barracks of Hanita specifically.
The election body in Pakistan has rejected former Prime Minister Imran Khan's nomination in the parliamentary polls next year. The Election Commission says that his bid is rejected because he's convicted in a corruption case. The former premier is serving a 3-year prison sentence. Has been barred from politics for 5 years by election authorities. However, he's filed nomination papers for the February 8th elections on Friday. Imran Khan has been facing a barrage of legal cases after his ouster from office last year. He says the cases are politically motivated.
That's a wrap for this news bulletin. Goodbye.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, December 31st, 2023.
2023. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. And Happy New Year 2024 to all our Christian listeners, especially the defenseless Palestinians who are suffering 75 years of the Zionist regime's occupation, massacre, and exploitation. We hope that 2024 bring peace, justice, and security to all people around the world, especially the people of Palestine and Gaza. Welcome back. This is the last edition of Listeners Special in 2023. And as you may know, Listeners Special is the program which is broadcast on Sundays, where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. As we always say, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And as usual, we've received reception reports from around the world, from Bala Murali from India, from Ewald Glatishing from Spain, and from Dino A. Rosetto from Italy. Bala Murali, Ewald, and Dino, thank you very much for sending us these reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports enable us to provide a better service for our listeners around the world. So all of you who have sent in reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us at IRIB English Radio. So let's see who has sent us email or a letter from around the world. Yes, here we've received an email from Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, our old and regular listener. Ewald Glatishing from Spain has sent us a piece of email. From Brazil, we've received an email from Robens Ferraz Pedroso, our old and regular listener. Chris Malbo from Canada has sent us a piece of email. And from Finland, we have an email from Joha Raika. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and let's see what Jayanta Chakrabarty from India says. As we enter a brand new year, I would like to wish you and IRIB English Radio team my heartiest season's greetings and enjoyable festive holidays. Hope 2024 would bring peace, good health, and happiness to all. I would be happy to receive some promotional material, if available, at your end. First of all, a warm salam and greeting to you, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. And many thanks for this email and for your congratulation message. Of course, we in Iran, as Iran is a Muslim-majority country, celebrate our new year on the first day of spring, on Farvardin 1st. So here in Iran, we have a minority, a community of Christians, which celebrate actually Christmas and New Year 2024 these days. And of course, they are celebrating the enjoyable festive holidays these days. Thank you for this message. We also hope that 2024 bring you peace, joy, love, and good tidings. And of course, we send our congratulation message and the message of peace, joy, love, and good tidings to all our listeners around the world, especially the people of Gaza. Thank you, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. So let's see what Ewald Glatishing from Spain says. Ewald says, "Dear sir or madam, I would like to start this message by sending you greetings from Spain. By way of introduction, let me say that I am an Austrian citizen and that, after working in the World Intellectual Property Organization in Geneva, I have chosen to spend my retirement in the south of Spain, where I have been living now for some 3 years. The reason for my writing to you is that I was able to listen to your IRIB here in Torremolinos. My location is about 8 kilometers from Malaga Airport, and I thought that that might be interesting news to you. Once again, let me express my pleasure because of having been able to receive the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran here in Spain. And I kindly would ask you to let me know if my report is correct and send me a verification of reception QSL confirmation. Thank you very much for your attention and looking forward to your reply." Salam and warm greetings to you, Ewald Glatishing from Spain, and thank you very much for sending us this email. We also congratulate you on the arrival of 2024 if you celebrate it in your country and if you're a Christian. Ewald Glatishing from Spain, thank you for sending this email to us. And thank you for sharing your information, your personal information with us and our listeners around the world. Of course, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL as verification to this email. And we are so glad that you were able to receive the signals of IRIB English Radio in your region. As you said, your location is about 8 kilometers from Malaga Airport. Thank you again. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Welcome back. Rubens Frost Pedroso from Brazil has sent us a congratulation message on the new year 2024. Rubens said, "Thank you so much for the Christmas message. I wish an excellent 2024 for all the people in the world. Stay safe and well." Rubens Frost Pedroso from Brazil, salam and warm greetings to you. Thank you very much for sending this congratulation message to us and IRIB English Radio listeners. We also wish you all the best in 2024. Peace, joy, love, and good tidings be to you on New Year 2024 and the Christmas holidays. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs, and please accept our electronic QSL as verification to this email. And from Canada, we've received an email from Chris Malbouf. Chris Malbouf says, "Hello and greetings from Canada. It's been quite some time since we've spoken, and I would like to share some of my Christmas childhood memories. When I was growing up, I used to have Christmas dinner with my great-grandmother, who has passed on for 10 years, and I would open the presents. I'm not sure what will be my New Year's plan, but I will think of something. I hope to tune in to your station soon and send in my thoughts." Salam and warm greetings to you, Chris Malbo from Canada. Thank you very much for writing this message. It's good to hear your Christmas childhood memories. It was nice. So we would be happy if you could tell us your plans for the holiday. And we also hope that the new year 2024 brings you the good tidings, peace, joy, and everything you wanted. Chris Malbo from Canada, thank you again. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. This is Listeners Special, and it's good to hear your childhood memories of Christmas and New Year in your emails and letters. It's so nice. Here we have an email from Joha Raika from Finland, who has said, thank you for your kind message. When I was young, we used to make a big snow castle before Christmas. Nowadays, there is not as much snow as there used to be, probably because of the climate change. Happy holidays to all the listeners. A warm salam and greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. To you, Joha Raika from Finland. It's good to hear that. That you said you were, when you were young, you used to make a big snow castle before Christmas. And as you said, yes, around the world, there is not as much snow as there used to be. And as you said, it may be because of the climate change. Maybe, of course. Joha Raika from Finland, it's good to hear the news from you and your personal information. We hope that the year 2020 for bring you peace, joy, love, and good tidings, and of course, much snow. Thank you for writing to us, and please accept our electronic QSL as verification to this email. Joha Raika from Finland, write to us soon in the new year 2024 and tell us your views about our programs. We wish you all the best. And here we come to the end of this edition of Listeners Special 2023, which would be the last edition of Listeners Special in 2023. Many thanks for being with us. But before saying goodbye to you, I do send my warm appreciations and gratitudes to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Bala Murali from India, Ewald Glashing from Spain, Dino A. Rosetto from Italy, Chris Malbo from Canada, Robbins Ferraz Pedroso from Brazil, Joha Raika from Finland, and Jayant Chakrabarty from India. Again, Happy New Year 2024 to all our Christian listeners, especially the defenseless Palestinians who are suffering 75 years of Israeli regime's occupation, massacre, exploitation, and many brutal acts. We hope that 2024 brings all of you, dear listeners, and all people around the world, especially Palestinians and Gaza residents, peace, justice, and happiness. Dear listeners of IRA English Radio and Listeners Special, we wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. To today's lesson, the importance of lawful sustenance. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Earning lawful or halal sustenance is essential for a believer. Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Do not quit seeking for lawful sustenance. Do your best and have reliance on Allah." Answering one of his companions who had objected to his going out on the hot day for sustenance, the Imam said, "I go out for sustenance so that I should be independent of people." On a similar occasion, the Imam said, "I like suffering from the heat of the sun for sustenance." On a similar, occasion, he says, "Leave me. I like Allah to see me working with my hands and seeking for a lawful or halal sustenance with suffering." Look, brothers and sisters, how Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam is promoting working hard to earn a lawful sustenance. Unfortunately, at times we are unaware of the ultimate relief that Allah has embedded in exerting for lawful or halal sustenance. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, if it comes about that you knew the ultimate relief would come the next day, you should never give up going out for sustenance. It is a duty of a believer to provide for his family and dependents. The Imam also said, the reward of him who toils on behalf of his household is like the reward of him who does jihad for the sake of Allah. This is how much Islam appreciates and encourages for the believer men to go out and, take the pain to earn that sustenance and livelihood for their families. Welcome back, dear listeners. Today we are discussing the importance of lawful or halal sustenance. Getting involved in busyness is in an attempt to earn halal sustenance is much encouraged by the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam, the sixth divinely appointed Imam, said, "Do not give up busyness so that you might be abased. Do business and Allah will bless you." Imam Sadiq alayhi salam also said, "Do not give up busyness, ask for the bounty of Allah." How comprehensive and precise this saying is. Allah provides sustenance to everyone, but there is a category who will be granted the sustenance Allah has reserved for him. Who are they? Look at this narration again by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and we will get the answer of who these people are for whom Allah provides sustenance, that is reserved for them. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, the prayers of him who quits seeking for sustenance will not be granted. Having misunderstood the purport of the revelation which says, and whoever is careful of his duty to Allah, he will make for him an outlet and give him sustenance from whence he thinks not. A group of the Prophet's companions left their jobs and devoted themselves to, quote-unquote, worship, saying, our needs will be met. When their news reached the Prophet, he sent for them to interrogate them, about their action. They told him that Allah had guaranteed their sustenance. Now, look at the response of the Prophet of Allah. The Prophet said, the supplication of those who do like this will not be granted. Keep on having endeavor. So, brothers and sisters, if you do not seriously seek your sustenance, you do not work on purpose, you do not look for a job, you do not try to earn your livelihood, then according to the narrations of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, your prayers and worships are not going to be accepted. You have to try to earn your livelihood and sustenance you know, of course, through halal means, and the sustenance has to be halal as well.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran while shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
A new poll shows that a growing share of U.S. voters say their country is spending too much on Kyiv. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. RT wrote, Americans are increasingly turning against funding Ukraine's conflict with Russia. Two recent opinion polls have shown. Partisan divisions have also had a serious impact on attitudes towards the provision of aid in the United States. In a survey conducted by the Financial Times and the Michigan Ross Business School, 48% of Americans said they believed their nation was spending too much on military and financial aid to Kyiv. Only 27% said the amount was right, and 11% believed the United States was not spending enough. The British newspaper reported the results recently. GOP voters were the most likely to say the U.S. assistance to Ukraine was excessive, with 65% of Republicans giving that answer, compared to 52% of independents and 32% of Democrats. The shifting attitudes were also reflected in a Pew survey on the same issue, the results of which the pollster released recently. In that study, 31% of respondents said the U.S. was spending too much, compared to 29% who supported the current level, 18% who considered it not sufficient, and 22% who said they were not sure. Recently, senators from the Republican opposition blocked the White House request for over $110 billion in additional foreign security spending, of which more than $60 billion was earmarked for Ukraine. The administration of President Joe Biden has argued that if the United States stopped funding Ukraine, American troops would have to fight Russians directly. He insisted that Moscow would attack NATO after beating Ukraine, prompting a rebuke from the Kremlin. Just 33% of Americans surveyed in the Pew poll said Russia was a major threat to the United States, while 34% called it a minor threat, and 10% said it posed no threat at all. Democrats were more likely than Republicans to perceive Russia as a major threat, with a 40% to 27% gap. Both surveys were conducted online between December 5th and 6th, and between November 27th and December 3rd, respectively. The Financial Times Michigan Ross poll reflects the opinions of 1,004 registered voters and has a margin of error plus minus 3.1 percentage points. The Pew survey involved 5,203 people and has a margin of error of plus minus 1.8 percentage points. According to Tehran Times, as the United States makes announcements on a regular basis for new military aid packages for the war in Ukraine, it is the American households who are funding the war through tax money. Many critics say the United States has waged a proxy war against Russia, but Ukrainian civilians and troops are sacrificing their lives to realize the American goals. It has been widely estimated that the amount of money Washington has spent on the war has left a hole of around $900 in the pockets of each American household. Some estimates indicate that this figure is approximately $1,000 so far for every American family. President Joe Biden repeatedly stating that the United States will support Ukraine as long as it takes, the Americans are wise enough to know what this actually means for them. Americans growing increasingly frustrated at the expenses, when a long list of urgent domestic problems, including health care, fragile and aging infrastructure, gun violence, racism, rising inflation, expenses, and other issues are being neglected. This public anger has been picked up on by various political nominees for the 2024 presidential election, drawing fears back in Kiev that the new administration in the White House could end the flow of military assistance. That will continue until the new administration, if Biden loses the election, wage another proxy conflict elsewhere in the world. The exact amount of money that the United States has sent to Ukraine is far from transparent, with the Biden administration using different terminology at different times to define where the funds are coming from. However, Polls and reports show Americans are seeking clarity themselves. In the first 10 months alone, since the conflict erupted in February 2022, Congress had already approved more than $113 billion in military assistance and other forms of aid to support the Ukrainian government and allied nations. The total sum being sent to Ukraine is believed to be much higher. Opponents of the war argue that this money can go a long way to serving a large number of domestic issues plaguing the lives of ordinary Americans. Publicly, Washington has announced several ways in which direct military supplies and financial aid are being provided to Ukraine. These include presidential drawdown authority sending existing U.S. weapons and ammunition and then paying U.S. arms manufacturers to replace them. The Ukraine Security Assistance Initiative. This is where the U.S. administration pays private contractors for training and supplies. On top of these two, Washington also has a foreign military financing program. The U.S. administration pays to stock up the weapons cash of NATO allies that have sent their own weapons to Ukraine.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent. And FM, 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful hadith, which has been transmitted from Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam. This hadith is about the importance of supplicating in times of ease. As you know, dua and supplication is something which is very important in Islam. And in many places of the Holy Quran, we have been invited to supplicate to God. For example, in one very famous verse of the Holy Quran, we read, "Say, what store my Lord would set by you were it not for your supplication? But you impugned me and my advice, so that will continue to haunt you. Your Lord has said, call me and I will hear you. I will hear your supplications. Indeed, those who are disdainful of my worship will enter hell in utter humility." So supplication is very important. However, a lot of times we see that, you know, we supplicate to God in times of difficulties when we have a problem. But once we are, you know, happy and that difficulty has been removed for us, and we feel a state of ease, we forget God and we forget to supplicate to Him. And this is wrong. In the Holy Quran, it's been mentioned that God said, when distress befalls man, he supplicates his Lord, turning to him penitently. Then, when he grants him a blessing from himself, he forgets that for which he had supplicated him before, and sets up equals to Allah that he may lead people astray from his way. Say, revel in your ingratitude for a while. Indeed, you are among the inmates of the fire. Right? So we should always remember to supplicate towards God and pray to Him and make dua, even when we are, you know, in a state of ease. And there's nothing, apparently, there's no problem. We're not in any difficulty. In this connection, Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam has been narrated as having said, "A believer must supplicate Allah in times of ease, the same way that he supplicates Allah in times of difficulty." It's also been narrated that Imam Ali alayhi salam said the following. Of course, this is not related to supplication and dua. It's related to praising Allah and thanking Him. He said, "We praise and we thank Allah for the afflictions and problems that we are tried with, just as we praise Him and thank Him for the blessings and the grace that He has bestowed upon us. Nahmadahu ala bala'ihi kama nahmadahu ala ala'ih." This is a famous saying of Imam Ali, narrated in the Nahjul Balagha. Something similar to this is what we're talking about right now with respect to supplication and dua. The Prophet said, "Acquaint yourself with Allah in times of ease." This is a more comprehensive hadith. "Acquaint yourself with Allah in times of ease, and Allah will acknowledge you in times of difficulty." Right? So when we praise Allah and we thank Him, or we pray to Him in these times, Allah remembers us in times of difficulties. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at supplicating to God in times of ease in the words of Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Bring us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.